All right, in studio, right? Don't play this music. One of them's going to work?
Yeah, I don't know.
In studio right now, I thought you were going to play a little Butthole Surfers or something. It's Gibby Haynes.
Yeah.
That's right.
The great Gibby Haynes.
Gibby.
Thank you so much.
Phone friend of mine.
Thank you. Absolutely.
But we've never met before.
It's thrilling.
So this is pretty awesome.
It is great. I love radio. I love what you guys do.
You, of course.
I just love radio. That's true. A very general
I do. I like it. I like the idea of it.
It's the premise of radio.
Yeah. I do, too.
You know, I like television, come to think of it, as well. They're both wonderful.
Gibby, local legend, right?
That's correct. International
son of local legend, for sure.
There you go. That's a Dallas resource right there, Jerry Haynes.
How is Mr. Peppermint?
What would Jerry do?
I know he's in ill health.
Yeah, he is. He's not doing so great, but he is getting better. And he's actually doing really good. And he's in great spirits.
And we had him on the show a few weeks ago.
Yep.
Was that well received
at
the household?
That was fun talking to him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's a good talker. He had a couple zingers, I think, too.
Yeah, and it was obvious he was familiar with the station and whatnot.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
That's great.
Especially sports. He's a huge sports fan forever and ever.
Did he enjoy the World Series?
Not so much.
Yeah.
Not so much. Yeah, I knew it. I saw, you know, when George Bush tossed in the ball, you know, for that game, I knew we were going to lose it. They should have gotten Karl Rove to throw it, and they would have won for sure. It worked the last time, anyway.
It certainly, that might have put a different spin on things. I like, you know, just from the standpoint of finally getting to meet you, It's very intriguing. Your body of work is substantial, and I didn't realize how busy you appear to be. As I kind of Google around, that your travels are taking you to various places. Still, are you still on the road quite a bit, or how does that work?
Well, since I've got an 8-month old son, and so I haven't been doing much.
How'd you get that?
The last 8 months, my wife's cat.
Okay, nice. Interesting.
Whoa, okay.
I didn't know you were married.
Kid came right out of my wife's cat.
Right.
I don't know how to say it.
Okay.
I just wonder how it got in there.
I don't know.
Get a little more detail on that.
I haven't heard it called that in so long.
That's why he loves radio.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That's a little theater of the mind.
That's why we all love radio.
Little euphemism, right? Okay, so you're busy watching your 8-month-old.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, who knows? We've got all kinds of offers, like, all the time to play, but, like, there's a possibility we might play in China next year. I'm really looking forward to that. That'd be cool. Just for the food. Food alone.
Yeah.
We could play in Szechuan.
You like cats, so.
Yeah. Way to go.
See?
You guys are quick.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's funny, because last time you were on.
Like dogs, too.
Bob asked. First question to you
How'd
was,
you get your name?
Yeah, how's your name? So, how'd you get your name? And then you said, man,
really
everybody asked
you
that first. So then I went home that night, and I have an odd way of doing things. I Google you and research you after you're on the show.
That's the way to do it.
So that night,
absolutely,
I did a YouTube search. I saw you on Fox News. I'm just going to play this little piece of audio.
I hope it's good.
Well, it refers back to what Bob did.
I love the Butthole Surfers. Oh, I want to talk to you about your band. For the viewers at home, what exactly is a Butthole Surfer? I thought it was a sporting term.
It's the name of our band.
I know it is. How did you name
it? It was like edgy back in the 80s.
Yeah.
God, that's like the first question like 20 years ago. Yeah, that's the one. Well,
I just thought,
there you
I
go.
Just wanted you to know, Bob, that guy also asked that.
Who was that?
That guy with the weird thing on his nose in that late night show on, I don't know what it's called.
Host of Red Eye.
The Red Eye.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? That weird thing on his nose?
It sounded like Jim Cramer.
Yeah, it sounded like Cramer, yeah.
Sounded like,
Was it Cramer?
Oh, I wish.
Would you like to be on Kramer's show?
Mad Money?
Oh, yeah, Mad Money. Oh, no, I thought you were talking about
Kramer from Seinfeld.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I would love to be on Seinfeld. That would be great.
So when did you guys form? In the 80s, right? You know what?
Early 80s.
Actually, so after you were on, too, the reason I went to YouTube and looking at you and stuff, because then, you know, your fans and listeners and everything started telling us all these things we need to check out, like the documentary about the The thing John with Johnny Frusciante. Depp.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Now, what is that?
It's not really a documentary. It was just a little short piece that Johnny and I did at John's house.
Are you friends with Johnny Depp?
Oh, that's yeah. Pretty cool. Oh, yeah, yeah,
that
it is cool.
That seems like a good bullet point on your resume.
Yeah.
If you're trying to get girls.
So, okay, that's fascinating because obviously fascinated with Johnny Depp and his work, but also the Chili Peppers and
yes.
the whole John Frusciante.
The rise and fall
arc.
And
yes.
rise.
Okay, so, but I wasn't aware of this until we talked to you. I didn't know anything about this piece you did, and it was called
Stuff.
So you went there after, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. we went there later.
Yes, and I'm just interested in the entire time and how you and Johnny Depp end up taking, what, a camera crew over to Frusciante's house?
Yeah.
And this is at the time, just for background for people who have no idea who he is, if there are people like that.
John Frusciante?
John Frusciante left the Chili Peppers yes. for various reasons, one of which that he had a pretty severe drug situation going on.
Yeah, now this is going to get dark now, so we really want to go there, but yeah.
I'm fascinated by the topic, so dare I say yes.
Well, okay. Yeah, John was not doing so well, and I was horrified when I went to his house and saw the state of his affairs, and
was it like what was he into, heroin and stuff?
Yeah, the whole routine, hard drugs.
What was the state of his affairs? Because I think of heroin like train spotting and the guys living on a
mansion in
cardboard box.
Mansion in the Hollywood Hills with like $1,000 bottles of wine half drunk, tipped over everywhere, bottles of urine here and there, just suspect splatters all over the walls and all over everywhere, and it was hardcore. The he was at the Chateau Marmont hotel, and kind of a celebrity style hotel in Hollywood. He was there before that, and he was sort of getting that way, and he had painted, like literally painted with oil paints, his entire hotel room. Like painted everywhere behind the television set. Like you open up the drawer and they had a little kitchenette there. Open up the drawer, underneath the drawer, painted the spoons. We'll use the spoons for other things, but he like, there's paint everywhere. And then if you walked out of his hotel room into the hallway, there was little footprints of oil paint until they dried up for all the people that came to visit him. So he checked out of there with a $45,000 bill. For the damages that he did.
Wow.
And then he was at his house, and his house was just an amazing wreck. Just an amazing wreck. And Johnny and I went over there to see him, and we were like, dude, we have got to get this guy in a rehab, and while he's there, we're going to make a movie here.
Yeah.
So that's how it happened.
And I mean, like I said, it's on YouTube. And what is the approximate length of the entire piece?
It's 11 minutes of really boring nothing. It's really not a very good...
I found it bizarre. I was curious if you did as well. And it's supposed to be bizarre, I'm sure.
Yeah, the cool thing about it was the soundtrack to it was from a body of recordings that John and actually River Phoenix had done over at his house. And... we did the film, and we needed a soundtrack. We needed a score for it.
Sure.
And so John had these tapes, and he said we couldn't take them all because John was rather possessive of them at this point. And we took one, and then a couple of days later, and we put it in the film, and we still had the tape. A couple of days later, he burned down his house with a Pop-Tart. And... other tapes were destroyed, and
wow.
That tape was his first solo record. It was on a cassette tape that Rick Rubin put out. I'm just dropping names left and right.
No, hey, you know what? You seem qualified.
How can this floor stand it?
You seem qualified. Okay, so
yeah, I could actually say Gibby Haynes.
No,
I'd be dropping names there.
I'm very
the way I roll.
I mean, look, not many of us have been to John Frusciante's house with Johnny Depp, so let's start there. But
you know what we did on the way over, which was awesome. Johnny used to go out. He was going out or went out with this girl, and evidently she had broken his heart or something. And on the way over, we passed by our house because it was on the way to John Frusciante's, and her current boyfriend was over there, and we knew because his motorcycle was there, and his motorcycle helmet was on top of his motorcycle. There was not, so we stole his helmet, and we took it over to John Frusciante's, and we painted it with oil paints, and then we took it back over to the house and put it back on his motorcycle, painted all psychedelic-y.
Oh, nice.
And it was a couple of months later that I found out that was Brad Pitt's helmet.
Really?
Yeah, there goes another one. Whoa! Whoa!
All right, so let me... Oh, wow. So let me ask you just about how that story ends, because at some point, Frusciante does get relatively clean.
Oh,
totally clean, and then back to the Chili Peppers, in which I guess he's subsequently now left again.
Yeah.
But...
Wow, good.
But did all that lead to that?
No, absolutely not. We got him into a rehab, and he was there for about 22 hours, and he left the rehab to go get a pair of shoes. There you go.
It sounds like a flimsy excuse, perhaps.
Yeah, it was, and it took him. It took him to the way to the bottom, to a very, very, very dark place. And when finally him and his buddy were staying in a hotel, and John, the guy at the hotel, wanted money for the rooms, and they went to go probably get drugs, and they came back, and the guy at the hotel had taken all of John's guitars, his eight amazing guitars, and that was sort of the bottom. He checked into a rehab, and he hasn't looked back.
At the very depths of his drug addiction, was he... Are you still able to play at a very high level, or do you get to a point where you're so screwed up that even a genius on the guitar can't?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He couldn't. I could. Man, I could tell you some weird stories, but
here we are.
No, I can't do it. I can't do it.
How about one?
Absolutely non-repeatable, but no, you can't do Jack Be Nimble when you're that way, and
I couldn't imagine.
No, it took him a while to get back and really, really kind of relearn to play the guitar. But it was so amazing. It was so good to see him come back and do so well and be so happy. And
the drug,
such a cool guy. He's John Frusciante is such a sweetheart. Actually, all the Chili Peppers are really, really, really good guys.
It's a weird scene, the drug scene and the music scene. Only that. I mean, it's a real fine line, right? Sometimes people can handle their partying, I guess, and just kind of leave it behind.
Yeah.
But some guys, it takes over. And plus, like you hear about, I can't imagine what you guys did, seeing some of the stuff you've put out. But,
you know, you,
but I mean, sometimes it keeps you going. Sometimes it's used in the creative process.
You know, no, I'm going to disagree with that. I don't think you can be creative and be on drugs.
You don't?
I think that takes away from your creativity. It may be the reason it's probably associated.
You ever smoked pot?
Have I ever smoked pot?
Yeah, that was the dumbest question ever. I believe you can.
This morning?
I don't know that you can complete the whole project or anything, but I think pot can be a part of the creative process.
You know,
but maybe that's not the drug that you're referring to. When
I think it's more or less a way, since it's like, you know, drugs are such a part of rock and roll, and it's a part of a lot of creative people's lives, I think, because it's, you know, basically the theory is they're self-medicating, and I think that's where the confusion between I take drugs because it makes me creative, and actually you take drugs so you can live, so you can be, so you don't kill yourself.
Yeah,
you know, and then because you're alive, you can do music. So, and you know, That's sort of the way it is. I just don't believe you can take anything and make you creative. That'd be great.
But a lot of creative people, though, then fall into that, I guess.
Bipolar. And
I think you're right. You were already creative. I don't think drugs makes a non-creative person creative.
I definitely think it puts it takes it away.
Although if we have Bob do acid at the Packer game, he'll have different thoughts coming home than he would have.
All right, we have Gibby Haynes in here.
Talking about drugs. Imagine that.
Hey, well, we...
On the ticket. Drugs.
That's very good.
It's called puking.
Puke talking.
Yeah.
That's big in radio.
99.5.
You want to hang around? Let's do another segment.
I'll hang around for weeks.
All right, very good. Let's do at least one more segment.
Cool. Yeah, that's what he always says.
We'll do that next.
A little girl would like wad up some tissue after she's blown her nose and looked in it, and the horror of seeing little speckled pieces of blood in her snot. It was on that rag that she had wadded up, and then she threw it away, knowing that was her life in there, and that her life would never be the same because the world was divided up into four parts. There was the Magus, the Tutor, the Fancor, and the Daria. And the Daria and the Fancor were at war with the Tutor and the Fartals, who I haven't mentioned to this point, because they were the fifth part, who were invisible, and they were all powerful.
No, he never did drugs. So I can
I would like to tell everybody what that was, but I don't have any idea. So
I can tell you.
What did we just play there?
That was, you know, you're in bed doing an interview.
Yes, you know what? And I can tell
like
you.
Like a John and Yoko thing.
That's been more than 7 years ago, right?
Yes.
I was definitely on LSD when I was saying those words, without a doubt. That I remember.
I would have never known.
Now, this is you guys. What is this? This is, I got this from iTunes. It says it's off the Scrubs soundtrack.
I guess they put
it. How did you do that? How'd you get on the Scrubs soundtrack?
It's you're on a major label, and they will license your product. They'll put it in movies, and they will do things like that.
Do you get a little extra money from this? Did you write this?
I participated in the writing of it, yeah.
Okay.
This, of course, the voice of Gibby Haynes, Dan.
Absolutely.
They say the writers, studio. That's where the money is, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like you were saying, of course, okay.
A lot of times.
I kind of remember the story of how I met you is that... what's that app where you hold it up and you can get
Shazam.
A song?
Shazam.
Shazam.
We were in a restaurant.
Shazam. Talk like Gomer. Shazam. Sorry, it's an old
joke.
Come on,
Dan, do it.
Old joke of mine.
The Gomer pile? You want me to do the Gomer pile
what's
joke?
It's like what?
That's not my finger either? Remember that one? Okay.
Where are we going?
Talk like Gomer. That's... never mind. It's bad.
Anyway, I met you because I Shazammed
the Rock
Pepper.
Hudson joke.
I thought of a transcript of this segment so far.
Just the first 2 minutes coming out of break would be something.
Pepper, your most well-known song, probably, right?
Correct, yes.
Anyway, we Shazammed this one day.
Shazam!
And, oh yeah. And then I debuted it at training camp to show you guys my hip new band that I'm into, the Butthole Surfers. And then
it was your daughter that found it, really?
Yeah. She does all the work, the legwork, and she enjoyed your name, of course.
And we had to explain to Dan that we really enjoyed that song as well when it came out.
And now you're being relentlessly pursued by Child Protective Services.
Now, I didn't know that. So Billy Joel wrote this?
Let's go ahead and say yes.
All right.
Why not?
Tell us how does that occur?
It's kind of an old joke. If you don't get paid... publishing royalties for your song, like in radio, they distribute radio play money to sort of. It's just hard. It's hard to describe. I can't. It's and occasionally you say Billy Joel got it. Just I don't know. Jeez, that was bad.
I mean, did he buy the rights?
No, he didn't.
My
Billy
question
Joel,
is, did
Billy
he not
Joel,
write that?
He had nothing to do with
it. Oh,
that.
It's a joke then. That's he, a...
Yeah.
So it's a common thing to say if you are not getting the money?
Among me, it is.
Oh, okay.
And that's all that matters right there. You're right.
Well, I believe that's made it then. Hasn't that made it then to lore? I thought I even read online that Billy Joel actually wrote that. You must have said that as your funny joke to somebody.
Yeah.
They put it on Wikipedia.
They took it seriously.
So...
Yeah. Okay. Is it on Billy Joel's profile?
I don't know.
Would be awesome. I'm going to go edit that in right now.
Yeah, we need to get that.
immediately.
All right, now you mentioned doing that interview on acid.
Yes.
And the last time you were on, somebody...
On acid?
No, on our show.
Oh, okay.
Which may be...
Very similar.
They may be both the same.
Yes.
Somebody had emailed me something called BBQ movie. So that night I watched that. That's on YouTube. And I knew right then that you had done acid. And I couldn't believe back when I did acid that I never...
Oh, good.
I couldn't believe I was never turned on to that. I mean, we always used to watch Yellow Submarine or something because of the Blue Meanies and everything. But,
yeah.
But I feel like I somehow missed you during my acid phase. You were out there doing acid videos. What happened? How did we not hook up?
Well, when were you going to rock shows and stuff? When were you in your early 20s? Like in what, the early 90s?
Oh, just a couple of years ago. It's been very recently.
We might have been before you.
Yeah, you probably were a little bit.
I'm a little bit older than you.
You are a little bit older. In fact, when I first talked to you, you were talking to me about Dallas sports, because when
that is correct, Meredith the Hayes,
yeah,
Meredith the Hayes.
that's kind of an older guy reference for sure.
The bomb, they invented the bomb here,
and you're familiar. I mean, like, you watched the Ice Bowl, or you were at least a fan.
It ruined my life. Are you kidding?
Really?
Ruined my life. Those cheaters.
Only cheating if you get caught.
Oh man! No, well, I guess they did.
And then I wanted you to talk about some of the things, because Bob is from Wisconsin and he's got a Packer tattoo. In fact,
really? Do you?
Yeah.
Wow.
You got any ink?
Small on my back.
The only
you got to have ink, Gibby, right?
Oh, I got a great one.
Probably got ink back when it was not.
I got a great
common
one.
To get ink.
I've got 77 tattooed on my right ankle.
All right, and that
it's like 69, but you get 8 more.
Wow.
I thought he was going to say it related to the Cowboys in some way.
77 Cowboys, what a great year to remember.
But no, that was a whole lot better than that.
Yeah. Where was I going? Oh, no, but you were talking to me on the phone about, like I said, when everybody first meets us, sports is the common bond,
yes.
So we talk a little sports. You know I'm on a sports station, and you were telling me about all your thoughts on Vince Lombardi and that he had a gay brother, and
it's commonly known that the Packers, the Packers, go figure, were the only team in the NFL that openly sort of accepted homosexual players. Which I'm fascinated by homosexuality in the
known.
NFL. It's commonly known.
Okay.
Commonly known among me.
Uh-huh. All right. Uh-huh.
And it's also ironic that I think this was divulged in the probably the seminal biography of thank you of Vince Lombardi. the biography of Vince Lombardi when Pride Mattered.
Uh huh.
And you know, Vince Lombardi died of colon cancer. And he refused to get a colonoscopy. And I think because he didn't want to be in the punk position. Hence the irony of when Pride Mattered. And he had too much pride. But speaking of colonoscopies, I've got to recommend immediately just go out and get a colonoscopy. It is amazing. I totally can relate to Michael Jackson on this one, because of the drug that they give you to put you out while they're doing this thing.
Right.
The first 10 seconds is amazing.
Oh, okay. So not really the actual colonoscopy or whatever.
But you got, in order to get where you need to be, you got to go there. But the... But the it's like
this is a guy who's done interviews on acid, so if he's
it must be
drug,
amazing,
that's
right?
A
I'm
great
going
drug.
To get an appointment right now.
I was like, you ought to. I was laying there, I was looking up at the nurse, and then this just amazing feeling started coming over me, and I had this big smile on my face, and I went, wow. And I saw the nurse above me, and she had this awful look on her face, like just disgusted with me, and she was shaking her head.
Okay.
Just shaking.
And you've seen that.
I was having a good time. Yeah, it's like, look at you, hands. Just look at you. And the next year, I went back the next year and at my physical, and I said, I'm going to need a colonoscopy. And the doctor the doctor said, no, you only get those every 5 years. And I said, well, last year they found a polyp. And he goes, really? What kind of polyp? And I said, it was a Jackson polyp. And I started laughing. And he goes, what are you laughing at? And I said, that was an art joke. And he said, a bad art joke. And I said, hey, man, what do you got against abstract expressionism?
Wow.
Wow. And ladies and gentlemen.
That tip your weight person. Make sure you tip your weight person.
True story.
That fire. Was quite a...
True story.
Now, you mentioned 7 years ago as a landmark.
Statute of limitations.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it happened over 7 years ago and he's
can't
telling
be prosecuted.
Something
illegal. That's right.
Well, I
caught that. That's a Law and Order joke right there. Yeah.
Well, I was just curious with the, was there a time of, swearing off drugs 7 years ago? Or?
No, it's literally statute of limitations.
No, he's just referring to that one scene where he was in the bed with the big hair.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, yeah.
Showing off all your hair, your hair. And,
yeah.
in that, if go to YouTube and you'll find that clip.
We were apparently nude.
Yeah, there is a couple of girls next to you. And
or at least one, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Was it just one?
At least one.
I thought there was one on the other side. Well, weren't they flanking him or no? Tom is a big fan of that video.
Half the band looked like girls.
Yeah,
back
the
then.
Band was all. Yeah.
Really?
Easily
those were
confused.
Good times.
We were all girls in the 80s.
You know what? I kind of want to call Bullsh since I've found out the Billy Joel thing is Bullsh. So someone else wrote that song, you're saying?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
Know it. I wrote it.
All right. I don't
know. You know that joke? That's another one you can't tell here.
Yeah. Something I barely know her.
It just maybe, perhaps.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
All right, so you're the writer
of
all the
songs. We're getting a series of punchlines.
Did you guys write songs together?
You just have to...
No, we wrote the songs together. Kind of the neat thing is I really, really can't play an instrument. I really can't efficiently play an instrument, but I can write music on them.
Oh, really?
It's strange. Yeah, I can write a song on a guitar. Can't really play one. Piano, same way.
Surely you're being modest.
No, that's truly the way it is. And I told it was funny. John Frusciante, we were playing in San Francisco New Year's Eve.
You dropped a name.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Boom! Right there. Boom! Pick it up. John, my wife was there, and we were on stage, and my wife was next to John and his girlfriend, and he was really intently staring at me. And my wife, Missy, said, John, what are you looking at? And he goes, I'm studying Gibby's guitar playing style.
And it's like, which is it's a little humiliating because a guitar genius.
He said the same thing.
I was like, studying your style.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 It's really it's actually really cool. I mean, I've told him. I've like John. He goes, you hand me a guitar or something. I'm like, what do I do this thing? And I was like, I can't play a guitar. He goes, I've seen you play one on stage. So that's how effective it is. Apparently, I'm a magician as well.
I feel like I want to call Bullsh on the other copy point that's in Wikipedia about you, that you were like your high school basketball star.
No, I think there's some truth to that. You could play a little basketball, right?
Yeah. Oh, I played NCAA basketball in college.
What does that mean?
I played for a non-scholarship Division III NCAA team in college.
Okay.
That counts. Do you still play at all?
Looking back at your backlog on YouTube and you with your hair and your LSD, I'm like, this guy was the captain of the high school basketball
you don't
team
carry,
in my ass.
You don't carry out the
Lake Highlands
the appearance of a basketball star.
Dude, I'm 6'5".
No, I know. It just appears
you're 6'5", huh?
Yeah, yeah.
It appears you've gone down a different road.
Yeah, I was.
What happened?
It's like a disc problem.
Who was your high school coach?
Jerry Wells was my my senior high school coach.
Now, was the high school team any good?
Skins, no, we were horrible.
Skin's dead, I think.
We were horrible. I almost averaged 20 points a game in high school. I threw it up there. And I got a scholarship to Kilgore Junior College. I wanted to play in the JUCO League because it was so tough back then. And
Were you a different guy? Were you more, straight-laced?
I got kicked out of Kilgore Junior College for smoking weed.
Oh, okay.
Did you have a neater haircut, though, when you were a high school star?
Yeah, the whole...
Did you have the buzz?
Yeah.
Good.
It's down the comb.
It's easier to see. Hair doesn't get in your eyes.
It was the 70s.
Just ask me.
Yeah.
Right? This is good times.
Yeah, these are. These are.
These are good times. Did you want to, before you leave, didn't you want to comment on... Drew Brees in his face?
Oh, the Drew Brees mole?
I don't know. You were talking to me about that one day on the phone.
It just bugged me.
And about Vince Lombardi's gay brother. I thought those are two topics I have to remember.
I was just horrified when the Saints were making their run.
Just so you know, he's not different. Like, if you're just talking to him on the... Like, this is not his radio personality.
He's not ramping up here.
No, I'm just saying. You're not, like, different here than you are on the phone. Or just... It just... Some people will be accused of, oh, you're putting on a radio voice, or you're doing this for... You're just shocking people for their... No, this is just Gibby.
Yeah, it's the way I live my life.
This is a dude. This is who he is. And I thought it'd be great to have him in because... This is good. Just like I thought we were doing a radio segment when we were just talking on the phone as I was driving home.
But I was horrified by Drew Brees' mole. And it, seemingly the sports coverage of it, they just always would show you that huge thing. I mean, it was huge.
Is it if HD you, has done this to you?
If you jumped off that mole, your clothes would be out of style by the time you hit his cheek.
That's harsh.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Definitely.
Well, that's a big mole.
And, you know,
but they can't help but show it because they show his face. It's right there.
Well, they
you
finally
can't help it.
They got a paint box or some kind. They can do something. They got technology to get rid of that. But and then they removed it, and now it's like the Marianas Trench with a bunch of impact craters around it. You know, and you know when they took the mole off, they didn't even notice there was three guys in midair that were falling off of it when they, you know, when they yanked that thing.
So,
thing really scared me.
Would you like to promote anything, Gibby?
I don't know. Not the doctor that removed Drew Brees' mole.
Yeah,
doctor,
I meant for yourself,
Doctor Fibes. You know,
you got any shows coming up? Are you doing anything locally?
I got
any
nothing.
Any speeches?
Where are you on your way to? Why are you in town?
Any sets? Any comedy sets coming up?
Why are you? Yeah, maybe the improv.
I do stand up.
Where are? Oh,
I'm really, truly, truly horrible. It is so much fun. It's so much fun to do that.
Would you? Are you better at guitar or stand up?
Guitar.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely.
But where? You don't want to plug anything? Nothing?
I got nothing coming up. God,
well, just think good thoughts for Gibby Haynes.
That's all I need.
Whenever you do have something coming up, tell us. And we will be your public relations arm here
certainly.
In Dallas.
Oh, that's great.
We're
that's
here for
great.
You. Right? We're the radio guys that really are in your corner, not those other backstabbers.
No, if there's ever anything, yeah, I will call you up and demand to have airtime. I mean, really, I really appreciate this. I love doing this. I love radio so much.
A pleasure to finally meet you, sir.
It's a blast. A pleasure to meet you guys, and thank you so much.
Gibby.
Dallas' own.
Yeah.
Dallas' own.